Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of Positive in Pro Wrestling. I'm your host, Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective, 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And of course, I'm a proud member here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. So yeah, on this week's show, we're going to be talking about some WrestleMania week event. This week's 205 Live, NXT, Impact Wrestling, and I was able to get along to Pro Wrestling Subjective Fool's Hold on Sunday as well, so we'll be talking about that. So without any further ado, let's get to it. I wanted to watch Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground, and I set it up on Twitch. Unfortunately, the commentary is ahead of the match, so it's very difficult to watch knowing what's going to happen, kind of thing. So I haven't watched it. I can't watch it. I don't want to watch, with the volume muted. So it's really unfortunate because I was looking forward to watching that. I'm not sure what the issue was or is, but it made it difficult for me to watch that show. And I'm gutted that I wasn't able to, really. So moving swiftly on to the WWE Hall of Fame. Really long show, 4.5 hours, lots of good stories, lots of, fun and entertainment, definitely. I thought Hillbilly Jim came across really well. Ivory as well, I liked her, and her story about giving Lillian Garcia a frog splash that Eddie Guerrero would have been proud of, or the Guerrero family would have been proud of, was quite funny. So yeah, lots to entertain you if you've got 4.5 hours to spare. The Hall of Fame was a good watch. The fact that Goldberg became a wrestling fan again is pretty cool, because he was very business-like during his WCW run and WB run the first time round. So yeah, and it's worth checking out. It's just whether you've got the time to spare, really. So that kind of finishes up my WrestleMania week, so we can get to the post WrestleMania week now. Unfortunately, I can't watch Raw and SmackDown, be a month behind because of the network. They really need to update that, in all honesty. It'd be cool if you could watch Raw and SmackDown, say, a few days after the live shows have taken place on the network. That would be really good. I'd really be a proponent of that. Yeah, so the, Raw after Mania and SmackDown Live after Mania and stuff, I'll probably check them out in a month's time, and then I'll kind of let you know where I stand from there. So yeah, let's get to the network shows. The first network show is 205 Live. So what was positive on this show? I like Drew Gulak's new serious character, and he had a pretty good match against Mark Andrews as well. Tony Nese in the pre-match interview was, I wonder, and I'm kind of hopeful that the fans will get behind Nese. Nese came out for the save after Gulak refused to let go of the submission on Mark Andrews. So hoping that Nese can get the crowd behind him. That'd be quite good. Brian Kendrick's back. So that's amazing. Really happy to see him again. His facial expressions and his expressions in general when Jake Maverick said about not retaliating against Hideo Itami because he put him out on the injury list was quite funny to see. So it'd be good to see where they go from there, really. It's such a important part of 205 Live, so I'm really happy that Brian Kendrick's back. And then Cedric Alexander's title celebration. Drake Maverick was fantastic in not building up exactly what this meant. Mustafa Ali came out, and I was like, wow, is Mustafa Ali going to turn on Cedric? And he might do in the future. I had that the other way around. And I had Mustafa Ali winning the title, didn't I, at WrestleMania, if you remember correctly. And then, you know, Buddy Murphy comes out of nowhere and hits his Murphy's Law finisher. Well, on the title, sorry. And that was a great way to end 205 Live. You've got Alexander, Ali, Maverick and Murphy look as, you know, as good as possible. And, yeah, you've got Showtime, Percy Watson on the commentary team. And he's going to be added to that. And Nigel McGuinness is off for a couple of weeks. And then the information that's come through from that is that Nigel's a new dad. So congratulations to him. And yeah, that's 205 Live. NXT, Kairi Sane against Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans really impressed me in this match. And Kairi Sane is, you know, she's amazing, isn't she? But Lacey Evans really shone in this match. And she's got a huge upside, a great character. Pretty decent in-ring skills as well and improving all the time. So a lot of potential and it should be really good to see what she, you know, see what happens from here. Yeah, the clips of the Authors of Pain and the Iconics getting the call up. No Way Jose as well. The Authors of Pain debuting on Raw and then moving away from Paul Ellering is a really interesting because Paul Ellering put them together in the first place. Shayna Baszler's interview backstage was really well done as well. Ember Moon debuting on Raw. Yeah, and, you know, really happy for the Iconics. They've been the iconic duo in NXT, and they've really deserved this call-up for the longest time. So I'm really happy for them, and we'll see what they do on SmackDown Live. And then I really enjoyed the main event between Heavy Machinery and Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli. I thought that was a really fun main event. And then War Raiders, who were formerly War Machine, Rowan Hansen, you know, attacked both teams and it ends in a no contest. But it was a really good main event match. And I really enjoyed every second of it. And then with the ending, it kind of, you know, it leaves it open-ended exactly what's going to happen in the tag team division. And War Raiders are a good addition. And, you know, Heavy Machinery and Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli are there as well. And I'm glad Moss and Sabatelli are still going as a tag team because I like them. I think they're really good. So, yeah, moving on to Impact Wrestling. And I liked the opening segment with Eli Drake. I think he's absolutely fantastic on the microphone. The fans desperately want to cheer him, but he's got the crowd control to shut them down and still stay in character. And I think that's absolutely amazing. Conan and Eli, you know, going back and forth, and then Eli announcing that his tag team partner is going to be Scott Steiner. For the Redemption Tag Team title match is, you know, it's an interesting addition. And obviously, it will just be a really interesting match to watch if we're, you know, lucky enough to be able to watch Redemption in some shape or form on, you know, British TV here in the UK. So I'm looking forward to it. I thought it was a really good segment. Normally in talking segments to open the show, you can kind of get lost in it, but I really enjoyed every second of this. It was really, really good. The Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer. Yeah, that should be a really good match, you know, a six-man House of Hardcore match at Redemption. So, and then Josh Matthews against Pete Williams. Pete Williams had talked about this on his teleconference call a few weeks ago that he'd like to take on Josh Matthews and stuff. So this was all just the lead into Pete Williams versus Matt Sydal and to build up that feud, really. So, job done in that instance, I think. Yeah, and the Demon's Dance, Rosemary against Taya was, you know, like a no DQ, no count out kind of match. And they really, you know, went after it. It was fantastic in terms of the brutality and the everything you can imagine. The hatred was there and the fact that the match ended with a pile driver by Rosemary on Taya through a table was outstanding, really. A great way to end the match. So I don't know where that's going to go after that, because I hope that isn't the end of the feud. And then to end the show, they went back to the Impact versus Lucha Underground. And like I said, earlier in this show, I unfortunately haven't been able to watch it because of the timing issues on commentary and stuff. Yeah, it looked like a really good show as well, which is really annoying. And yeah, set for the Redemption pay-per-view is the House of Hardcore match with Ohio versus Everything, Dave Chris, Jake Crist, and Sami Callihan versus the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, Moose, and Anything is Possible, Eddie Edwards. Knockouts title match is Soo Young versus the champion, Ali. Impact Tag Team title match is Eli Drake and Scott Steiner against LAX. X Division title match, a match that could steal the show, is Canadian Destroyer Pete Williams versus champion Matt Sydal. And another match that could steal the show is Pentagon Jr. of Lucha Underground, Phoenix from Lucha Underground, against Austin Aries. So, an enjoyable show this week. A lot of groundwork's been put down for the Redemption pay-per-view, which, like I said, hopefully we're lucky enough to be able to watch it here in the UK. So, yeah, enjoyable episode of Impact Wrestling this week. And then last but no means least, it is Pro Wrestling Subjective Fool's Hold. So we had a four-man tournament featuring Steve Valentino, Corey Johnson, Saul Adams, and 21st Century Hero. So going back to the first match, Corey Johnson really impressed me in the first match. He's part of a tag team with Nate and the Usual Suspects. So when he was put into a singles role in this tournament, I've never seen him as a singles wrestler. So it was really interesting for me. I thought his trash talking with the fans was on point. His in-ring performance was pretty good as well. And obviously with Steve Valentino, one of the most popular competitors in pro wrestling subjective, it was always going to be a fun match. And really impressed by Corey Johnson. And Steve Valentino picks up the win with the frog splash and advances in the four-man pro wrestling subjective title tournament. I should say at this point, and probably should have said it before, that the Outlaw Jesse Jones had to relinquish the title because he was taken out ill before the show. And unfortunately, since that moment, the illness is one that is going to stop him from stepping foot in a professional wrestling ring again. And he's had to retire, which is absolutely gutting because he was such a fantastic champion and one of the hottest talents on the UK scene. I had, I thought he would reach WWE UK, NXT, maybe even Raw and SmackDown, to be honest. He had youth on his side and, he was getting better with every match. So it was so unfortunate, but it's completely understandable that a person's health has to come before wrestling. So, I just want to take this time to wish Jesse Jones the best in the future, and hopefully we cross paths again. And I just wish you the best, really. Nightshade and Shax finally met after the At 4th We March show, and Shax finally got a comeuppance when her cane, which she used in the previous match, rebounded off the ropes and hit her in the face. And then Nightshade followed up with a roundhouse kick to the face and won the match. And since we're talking about the positive, it's not necessarily going to be a review, this one. So Harry Cruz's mystery partner was the judge, and they went up against Alter Ego, which is the most entertaining team that I've seen, definitely on the Midlands wrestling scene. 2K and CJ Rawlings took on Harry Cruz and the judge, and judge obviously had gone against Cruz in the previous match, and then he was like, oh, okay, I want to tag with him. He turns on Cruz in the end, which is no surprise to people who know the judge as a character. But the absolute true shock happens after the match, as Lauren uses the judge's gavel and smacks it around Cruz's face to turn on him as well. This shocked me so much that I didn't actually see it take place because I was writing down the results for the show. And yeah, and I just saw the aftermath, so absolutely shocking. And Athena Fury and Sean O'Shea have got a long, you know, back story and history. So, you know, she attacked Sean O'Shea backstage and took her out of the PWS women's title picture. And Sean O'Shea came back for revenge and was on her way to getting it until Fury hits Shea in the face with her ring helmet and picks up the win. So somebody's got to stop her from using her, you know, weapons of choice. And, you know, the person who's able to do that, the lady who's able to do that, sorry, will be the one who takes the title away from Athena Fury. And then on to the main event, which was the Captain Steve Valentino versus Simply Sensational Saul Adams. This is probably the best main event they could do, given the circumstances. This had many twists and turns, including the referee being knocked down. Valentino fights all the odds and wins the match with his frog splash to become the new pro wrestling subjective champion. So yeah, this is probably the best outcome. But considering the outlaw Jesse Jones was, you know, like a hero to the fans and stuff, I would have gone with like Simply Sensational Saul Adams just to shake up the title picture, really. But I understand the reasons why the Pro Wrestling Subjective title went to Steve Valentino. He's really popular with the fans, and you know, to lose one really popular wrestler to put it on another is you know, that's a really fair and just decision, really. So so then just to wrap up my match of the week, I'm gonna go with Rosemary versus Taya Valkyrie in the Demon's Dance match. I thought they really worked hard, and you know, you could sense the hatred and everything that they built up, and the pile driver through the table was pretty fantastic, really. And then the segment of the week, I'm gonna go with the Iconic debuting on SmackDown Live. I know I don't you know, watch SmackDown Live, but I saw it through NXT, didn't I? So I'm gonna go with that. So yeah, this is Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on Paperback and Kindle now. And proud member of Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast, signing off. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.